Okay. On this episode of the InfoSec End of Year Podcast Extravaganza, roll call, I'm Tracy Maley from the PVC Security Podcast.
I am Ed Rojas from the PVC Security Podcast.
I'm Joe Gray from the Advanced Persistent Security Podcast.
Right. I'm Brian Betcher from Breaking Down Security Podcast.
I'm Brian Brake from the Breaking Down Security Podcast.
I'm Jerry Bell from the Defensive Security Podcast.
I'm Andrew Cal from the Defensive Security Podcast, and soon to be launched, How to Survive in Prison as a Weak White Guy Podcast.
Very nice. Yeah.
And I'm Amanda Berlin from Everybody Else's Podcast.
All right.
Nice.
All that nice. And more on this very special episode, the InfoSec End of Year Podcast Extravaganza. So, Mr. Brake has a surprise for us for our opening song, so lay it on us. I'm afraid.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna
never let give you down.
I'm gonna run around and desert you.
Yep. I'm gonna make you cry. I'm
gonna never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna run.
All right.
Yeah, that's good. Rickroll for the internet.
Why couldn't we get Rick Astley to run for president if he's making those kinds of promises?
Well, because he's British, first of all. All right. Order. Dear friends, welcome to a special end of year InfoSec podcast. This is the latest episode in a thrilling collector series. I'm Tracy Mayleaf, coming to you from the Philadelphia suburbs. As you heard in the intro, we have an interesting group of podcasters with us today. So I won't go through the names again because we already said that, first of all. But welcome, everyone. Happy end of, almost end of 2016.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi. Feliz Navidad.
Exactly.
Rana Hana Kwanzmas.
Oh, Jesus.
Have a good Festivus.
So let's get into some InfoSec talk here. And why don't we talk about what was your top InfoSec story? And I use the word your because it could either be something in your career that you'd like to share, or what you think was a big InfoSec story, maybe on your own podcast, what got a lot of hits. So why don't we just dive in and talk about some of the top stories from 2016?
Well, I'll start it because I think the most important InfoSec story of 2016 has to be a Tactical Edge in Colombia.
How was that? I'm still waiting for my knives to be delivered.
I know. Anyway, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. A lot of people liked it. You were there. You were typing like a mad woman possessed. And that was that was awesome. I'm looking forward to 2017. I think Mr. Jerry Bell may be able to accompany us on that one. So that's my top InfoSec news for 2016.
Where's that going to be in 2017?
I think it's going to be back in Bogota. We were thinking Medellin, but it's getting complicated. So we just want to do it back in Bogota again. Smaller, more intimate.
So I need to go back and delete some tweets then.
Nah, that's okay. Me too. I have to go ahead and do a lot of stuff. But you know what? I mean, seriously, if you have a chance of doing you know, some kind of event get together in your local community, you should do it. I know that, Brian, you're very involved in your community on the West. Amanda, I know you do it a lot with the MySec folks, and it's a lot of it's really rewarding, let's say, right? People do appreciate the what you do and the effort that goes into it, and when it comes together really nicely, it's a fantastic experience. And I recommend everyone, you know, if we're in a leadership position, go ahead and do that.
Plus, it gives you excellent cover as a drug mule going back and forth to Colombia. So it's good.
Oh.
Okay. So I have an honest question about that. So people who hear that it was in Bogota, that it could have been in Medellin, but back in Bogota, you know, you have the media who paint the whole area just big, you know, drug war thing going on. How do you help allay those fears to people that, you know, when they're trying to visit Colombia, that it's not going to be just, you know, snowing in Colombia and it's not snow?
Well, I mean, this is the best way that I could do it, right? Doing something like this and bringing recognized leaders. So Tracy was there. She came back nice and safe. Wendy Nather was there. Wolf was there. Jason Street was there. So the more people that go down there, respected people, and they come back, you know, Aaron Jacobs is still talking about it.
Dave Lewis. Who went down and didn't come back?
That's for us to know and you to find out.
Exactly. No. And again, the only way to combat that is to go on your own. A lot of that is, you know, is yellow journalism, right? People that have been stuck in the 1980s, 1990s. So, yeah. You know, if you're that type of person, stay home. You know, don't come.
Well, if I may say so myself, the social media for Tactical Edge put out a lot of interesting articles and tweets about the culture of Colombia and all what to see to do and the safety of the country. So yes, I was very proactive in putting that information out there. But yes. It was a great experience and I highly recommend it. And the people were wonderful. And the bread, oh man, the bread.
Well, Valerie Thomas was tweeting or something that she was she's in Queens. She went to a Colombian bakery and she said, nope. It's nothing like the real thing, and I'm laughing. I'm like, you went to Colombia only once, and now you're an expert. By the way, I see Lurk keeps transforming every
wow.
Every second is a new person.
What are you talking about?
He looks like Harry Mudd from the original series Star Trek with horns.
Well, say, there you go. I just got that photo.
So so let's move on. So let's talk to the defensive set guys for a second, because you handle the top news stories every week. So I feel like you really have your finger on the pulse of the news stories of the year. What comes to mind?
I feel like you forget that we're old and we forget everything we do. About a day. But sure, Jerry, you want to go first?
Then I'm gonna go with ransomware.
Yeah, that, you know, I was going to go with two. I would say ransomware and probably the Swift banking hacks.
$1 billion.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you had a chance to see the latest news?
It's starting to come out as an insider job. Yes.
No. Not.
Oh.
Yeah, there was an insider job angle. I'm talking about back on ransomware. I mean, my story, not your story.
Oh, you're talking about the multi-level marketing version of ransomware?
Yes. The Tupperware version.
It's excellent.
What's that all about?
So if you get ransomware, they'll decrypt your files if you encrypt two of your friends.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Share the love.
It is the season of giving.
It's like the Tupperware of ransomware.
You just have two machines to randomly infect that may belong to you.
Or parents.
So yeah, that's my bad. I called it about 8 months ago, I suppose, on the podcast that we would be using, or we would be seeing the Ring model of ransomware come in. You know, where if you don't want to die, then you'll have to show the video to two of your friends or however the story goes. Same thing apply here. We're using our vices against, or the hackers are using our vices against us, I suppose.
Explain that to me again, because I lost something in translation. So what's the new thing then? You get infected, and then if you infect somebody else, you don't get infected?
Yeah. If you get two of your friends to get compromised instead, they'll give you back the files.
Friends at this point, right? Oh, yeah.
it could be frenemies.
It's like an affiliate program. Really.
So, like at that point, can't you just spin up a VM and?
That's what I was gonna ask.
Yeah, like put it on two VMs and what? Who cares? Yeah.
They have to pay.
See, that's the thing. I believe they have to pay.
Oh, right? They have to pay before you get unlocked. Oh crap!
They think of everything.
So it's like selling Tupperware, but also getting your friends to be salespeople, and then they're their first sale.
It's the malware pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is like the worst pampered chef party ever.
where do you sign up to host one of these parties? You know, I always see people wanting to do like a unique or pampered chef or 31 party. Where do you sign up to host these parties to get a cut?
Go to ransomware.ru and I'm sure they'll have all the information.
The deep web. Yep, I hear you did it on the deep.
So it's not on jerrysmom.com?
Oh!
So jerrysmom.com is currently going down. So it'll be back up later.
Don't make me put an expletive or
I hate it.
Warning. I think that might be close.
I did not start that.
I'm going to have to run that past standards and practices before we.
Quick call HR.
Who else did we not? Brian Brake, did we hear from you? What do you think the big story is?
Well, I think our big story of the year was actually one of our earlier interviews that we had with. Oh, that's my wife. Look at her. She got me some pralines for Christmas. What? Sorry. I digress. It's the small things. So squirrel. Exactly. I think one of our best interviews that we did this year, because we don't do news stories. We're not news of the week. We try to, you know, educate people. I'm not being passive aggressive. But much. We actually do.
What are you trying to say there, Brian?
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
So I'll give a little backstory. So a friend of mine who now is, you know, as the head of RhinoSec, Ben Cottle, works up here in Seattle.
You know it's a one-hour show, right?
I know. I'm just being quick. So he asked me to lunch, and he said, hey, I've got something interesting for you. And I said, okay. So he sat me down to lunch. We had a little lunch here in Capitol Hill in Seattle area. And he said, I have an interview for you. Do you know Hector Munsiger? And I said, that's Sabu. And he's a guest. And I was like, okay. And he's like, would you like to interview him? Talk about his experiences. So we had him on. And I thought that was a really great interview that we had with him. Him discussing, you know, how he was able to make ends meet after he left FBI custody by using bug bounties. You know, how that paid off and how he was able to, you know, work his way back to, you know, regular job. And you know, getting himself back, from being rehabilitated and becoming a working member of society.
Excellent. And then I guess I'm last here. I'm going to have to say the whole IoT botnet thing, because I think it's still developing. And as we talked about one of our last PVC Sec recordings, you know, about manufacturers being held responsible for, for the devices. And I just feel like that's just like the tip of the iceberg. And actually I was thinking of this question when I was walking the dogs earlier. So if I can give another answer too, I actually think the election, not getting into any politics specifically, but the security and privacy issues that have developed from the election cycle, I feel like has made those issues more of a household term than Swift or ransomware, you know, to average, you know, Joe and Joanna Q public. I think that's more on the minds of the public end users versus the security community.
Thanks for skipping Amanda and me for hours.
I asked who else was left, and nobody said anything.
That's what I was going to say, Amanda and Joe.
Oh my God, sorry, go.
Joe, do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You can go first.
I want to say the most impactful issue that we had is when I couldn't access Twitter because of all of the DNS DDoSing.
Where do you go to even complain?
I tried to complain on Twitter. It just wouldn't work.
That's the problem. When Twitter's down, where do you complain?
I just like yelled out my window.
That's when you go back to MySpace.
I had the same reaction.
I would totally tweet this out if I could.
Well, it's usually people going onto Facebook going, oh my God, Twitter's down. That's or
IRC.
Yeah. Yeah. Or any other one. Yes. I apologize, Amanda. Yes. And then that was a very big story. And how about you, Joe?
It helps if I take it off of mute.
Yes.
Honestly, all the really good, juicy stuff really got covered. So picking up the scraps, I would say probably, you know, you said the election. I'll say the DNC hacks. I'm not going to say that influenced the election, and I'm going to stay out of politics, but it definitely increased the public awareness perspective of what's going on out there. And actually, you know what? I just thought of something as I'm saying this that is huge. Yahoo, I mean – That was pretty big. I mean, everybody saw it coming, but that's probably the biggest news thing that's not been said, in my opinion, honestly.
I think it was forgotten.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff at the beginning of the year we're going to forget about.
Okay, so here's my question then. Since I'm the newbie among this group here, would you say that this year has had way more huge stories? Because I feel like there's hard to pick from. You don't think that there's more than past years?
I think it's the same thing, same way.
I'd say over at least the last four or five years has been pretty consistent with data breaches and everything else, major vulnerabilities.
I'd say it's been accelerating at a steady pace. How about that?
Yeah, I could go for that.
Okay. Well, I think the IoT botnet's a new thing. I don't think we had to the severe degree that we had. I mean, we had outages on the East Coast. You know, Okta was obviously Okta, another duo. You know, two-factor systems were based out of the East Coast because even though it wasn't affecting the West Coast initially, people couldn't access their systems that required those systems, Okta and those on the West Coast, because the East Coast was required to authenticate you to the West Coast system. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see how not decentralized our authentication mechanisms have easily become and have become a weak point in that respect.
I would say that the media, the mainstream media, is getting more interested in reporting events in the information security world than they have been in the past.
Oh, absolutely. There was a period in October and early November. I was on the same news channel three times talking about different things. And, you know, it's never been that easy to get on the news in the past.
Wait a minute. Joe, you've been on TV?
I have. Four times.
How do I get on the TV?
Dude, I was on TV the first time this year.
Mother.
You've got to troll Facebook.
You need a better agent, Brian.
Important question. Yeah. Are we counting America's Most Wanted segments?
Oh, yes.
Well, if there was a case, then, you know, you would definitely.
Yes. I've been on several milk cartons, but I've never been on, you know.
Yeah, not to catch a predator either.
Honestly, in all fairness, it's selective trolling of their social media. That's really what it boils down to.
Okay. It seems like it's more household terms. Like, you know, Thanksgiving was interesting because that people, you know, was talked about at Thanksgiving, and I know that it's never been a topic of conversation before at a Thanksgiving.
Mean, Jerry and I don't do much TV, but I mean, to be honest, we got more listeners than most TV stations. So I'm just saying.
I always like to call these kinds of podcasts the coattail riding, defensive security podcasts. So.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. I was going to ask where
I'm riding some coattails real sweetly right here.
I'm just teasing.
That's how we get two more listeners every year.
Why do you think I'm on everybody else's? I don't have to keep numbers up.
Well, actually, you know, the Bryans and I, we got a really good coattail to ride just recently with Gary McGraw.
Oh, yeah. That was a good show. We're as part of our book club that we're doing on the Breakstack Slack channel, we decided to have Gary on with Joe to discuss as secure SDLC, what has changed in 10 years since he – or 12 years since he wrote that book, you know, spoiler alert, nothing much. It's all still busted. And it was a great show.
Cool.
Throw away chapter two.
Yeah, throw away chapter. Yeah, just rip it right out of the book. Just boom.
All right. So. Does anybody else have anything else to add regarding top stories before we move on?
No, ma'am.
There's not like a ninth person on this call that I forgot. Okay.
I mean, we can invite someone.
No, we'll break it, Amanda. Stop. Don't touch it.
Hey, it goes up to 10. I found that out the other day.
All right. So let's start with Joe, since he went last the last time. So Joe, what were your own professional wins in 2016?
I got out of my old job. I scored what I consider to be a dream job with Sword and Shield. Basically, they're letting me do the defensive side and some pen test as well. So there's a lot of professional growth there. I finally got consistent with the podcast sometime around April. I had a lot of pretty good guests. In fact, some excellent guests. Obviously some of them are on this show right now.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. Well,
I've never been invited, so that's okay.
No!
I'm saving you for episode 50, man.
Shots fired.
So much passive aggressive energy on this podcast.
Oh, absolutely. But with that, you know, I think that professionally I've grown and learned more this year than probably the last three or four years combined.
Awesome. Now, Amanda, I know that you're going to be a keynote speaker in 2017, which is exciting. B-Sides Nashville, it's what, April 22nd?
Something like that. I don't know. It's on my calendar.
B-Sides Nashville.
It is April 22nd.
Okay, April 22nd. Go to B-Sides Nashville. See Amanda. So
maybe,
I know.
Maybe.
That's my first keynote, and I'm scared.
You had a great talk at DerbyCon. I mean, Lee couldn't make it, but you had a great talk at DerbyCon. That was fantastic. Thanks.
I felt like I didn't do that good at DerbyCon.
But that's what I was going to ask. So what have you done this year then that you think, you know, led up to that invitation for the keynote?
I don't know.
Pestered somebody.
I mean, Lauren Lil Loss was there, and she watched it as well. So she must, I mean, they must have liked it enough to think that I'd be a good keynote. So I was super honored when she asked and just absolutely floored.
Pro tip, don't screw it up.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I can just imagine it's going to be an audience full of trolls. Like, it's going to be great. But I have a couple good ideas for it. Other good things this year. I got a book deal, so that's probably ever happened to me.
Wait, are you finally doing the 50 Shades of InfoSec series you talked about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be way better than the original book.
Mm-hmm. It's a hell of a Yola.
Right. And I got a promotion at work, so that's a cool thing.
All right. Yeah. Nice.
Very cool.
So can you talk about what the book is? Because that's something you want
to
say?
Yeah, I was going to wait for the
really
plug
cool
thing.
It's a really cool name.
It's the Defensive Security Handbook.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't know you wrote a book about listening to our podcast. That's amazing.
Chapter one, dumpster fire. Chapter two, very
dumb. It's more of a pamphlet, really.
Chapter five, grooming llamas.
Oh.
So you should actually have Jerry and Lurg write your forward for it. It would only be appropriate.
I haven't even thought about that.
There you go. Do it.
Probably something we should think about.
Joe, I'll slip you $5 later, buddy.
That's fine.
I haven't even thought about, I kind of forgot about forwards. I lost my train of thought. Oh, I did add all of the podcasts. We have our last chapter is actually called The Extra Mile, where it's little pieces and parts that don't really fit anywhere else in the book.
So all the podcasts go there, okay.
Yeah. So wow. We have like a master list of websites, podcasts, blogs, and something else. Can't remember.
Twitter accounts?
No, that'd be horrible.
Other miscellaneous cybers.
Yeah. So you guys are under the podcast section.
Nice. Cool.
Thank you.
Nice. Awesome. So, Mr. Petcher, you're a little quiet. Let's hear from you.
Okay. So in 2016, I think my biggest milestone was the launch of an IR tool that I created with one Michael Goff called LogMD. It's accelerated pretty rapidly. We launched it in March, and it's become a really nice tool, and we use it almost every day in our company, in our lab. And it's only going to get better. We've got a few things. We've got a long list of stuff to add to it, but already it's becoming a standard for us. So, and it comes out of trying to make our job easier and make our job more effective, right? So it's like a combination of a bunch of different tools. And
that sounds
it's
great.
Come along, and it's self-sustaining now, so it's really
awesome.
Good.
And how does one procure that if they wanted to?
$1 million.
Well, it's on log-md.com. Don't go to logmd.com, otherwise you'll get some proctologist in Wisconsin. But if you go to log-md.com,
Or a tree, or an arborist. Jeez.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's an IR tool, and it's a free download. So, yeah, take it for a joyride. And we do offer a pro version, which gives you a lot more features, and it's a lot quicker because you can use whitelists and things. So
how many angry emails do you get from people who are unhappy with the free version and demand features for their free tool that they got for free?
A few. Okay. A few.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of things are they asking for that you're not giving them for free?
Support.
Yeah, basically, hey, this isn't working or something to that effect. But yeah, it's not much. I mean, a lot of people, we ask that they sign up so we can send them updates, right? So when we update the tool, which is about every quarter, we will give them a link that they can download the latest version. But some people think that they can enter a fake email address and expect to get the tool. So, yeah.
Well, they are tools for thinking that. So,
oh,
exactly. Nice.
So, Mr. Are you done chewing your pralines over there, Brian? Can you?
Man, it is. I already ate half the thing. Well, I mean, I'm glad you asked about my my stuff for this year and what would I have accomplished. So,
yes,
I got to sell myself. I got nothing else. I mean, I'm not really doing much at work that I would consider challenging. You know, I do vulnerability management, so it's pretty much a thankless job. But for the podcast, you know, we started a Slack channel. In my off time, I do a gathering called CSEC East, where a bunch of people in the Seattle and Redmond, Bellevue area get together every first Tuesday of the month, and we talk about security. You know, we had a bunch of people at our last December meeting. Miss Totenkopf, co-founder of the event, came. She was up here on business travel, so she got to hang out with us. Jay Beal from InGuardians came up. I mean, we have a bunch of people from a varied area of expertise. Some people do firmware development. Some people are, you know, PMs learning about security. I mean, it just really is all types of people, and very nonchalant, very chill atmosphere. We have dinner somewhere. Started the Slack channel on BreakSec, and we have a few people there. We started some sub channels, mostly a book club. So we're going through the book, like we mentioned, Gary McGraw's Software Security, Building Security In. I think that was it. Yeah. Matter of fact, our book club meets in about 45 minutes, so I'm going to have to do that. We started out with two people on the first episode, or the first chapter, and we were on chapter 6 in about 45 minutes, and we're on, we had like 8 people the last time we showed up, so I'm hoping it'll get bigger.
Nice.
And after we finish the book, we're going to do a CTF thing where we're going to get a war game, or we're going to do something like Over the Wire, and we're going to do one of those games where, you know, we all get together and I'll hang out or something, and basically go over them, and we'll teach people various things. And you know, if you've never done a CTF or a pen test or a war game before, thank you, honey. Love you.
I want this kind of service.
Yeah, we need to narrate what just happened.
Did you bring some for the rest of the class?
Wife came into my office/studio because I work at home, and she brought rotisserie chicken, some smashed,
very nice.
Know, yeah, it doesn't happen often. She's in a good mood.
She's just showing off right now. Oh, she wants a Christmas present.
Well, I put a down payment on some of her cars, so she got a brand new car. So, but yeah, I mean, that's been what's going on with the podcast for the most part. I really want it to get bigger. I'm learning about search engine optimization. I've been listening to a couple of podcasts that actually talk about doing podcasting. One called The Audacity of the Podcast, which actually suggested that you take a hiatus every once in a while. So we're going to take 2 weeks off at the end of the year, the first time in 3 years we've ever had and no episodes running. So that'll be something new. And I'm going to be working on trying to get more exposure for the show. So, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Cool.
I'm going to turn my camera off so you don't see
me. Yeah, why don't you eat your chicken and I'll move on. So.
Don't worry, Brian, when you're on hiatus, I guarantee you the biggest story of our lifetime will happen.
That's right.
It happens for risky business.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think we all know that hearts were broken wide open this year when Mr. Andrew Callett was taken off the market by his lovely bride.
I know mine was. Yeah. Had my sight set.
So we know that this was a big year for you personally. So wanted to talk about professionally. Did you get any work done while you were trying to wedding plan?
It's been a crazy year. I would say I got two. One, and this isn't something that many people know about yet, but I'm working on a mini book right now. It's not a full-fledged book. It's like about 50 pages. And that's first time I've ever done something like that. And it's been very difficult. And I'm not a writer. So that's been an interesting challenge in an area that I've trying to get better at. And the other big thing was Jerry and I got to help out with the O'Reilly Conference in New York and host the track. And that was really really rewarding and fun, and I felt really kind of a highlight of my year this year professionally.
Awesome. Yeah, that was fun, and I felt very calm. I was one of the participants.
Yeah.
And it was very calming to have two familiar faces and voices there while I got up and did my lightning talk. So
and you did great. You killed it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Now, I saw many photos of Jerry in a three-piece suit or two-piece suit, I guess, this year. So what kind of shenanigans were you up to in your suit, sir?
Let's see. What kind of fib can I tell to
officiate a wedding or?
Yeah, that's what it was. I had 4 weeks of back-to-back weddings I had to.
Awesome.
I had about a month. Actually, like 5 weeks straight up at the mothership in New York for some government meetings. Can't really go into the details, but yeah, that was exciting. you know, otherwise, I had a pretty significant promotion this year, which was pretty cool. It's tied up most of my free time, so. That was kind of on a professional point, probably the highlight of the year. I agree that the O'Reilly conference, by the way, was really great. I had a great time at DerbyCon. For the first time, I was able to bring my family to a conference, which was
cool. Very nice.
I got to meet your lovely wife. She's fantastic.
She is.
It's a shame she's all blind and deaf and can't hear you half the time.
It's good for me though.
Yeah, we obviously, both of us, we married out of our league, so.
That's right.
Well, cool. Well, that sounds, I know you definitely had a busy year. That's great. So, all right, did I screw up this time? Got everybody? Am I last now for real?
You are missing your boss. You're missing me. So for me, well, I already said Tactical Edge. That was awesome. And then the other thing is that I am no longer a colleague of Mr. Bell. I moved to the big D. Ah, stop poking me in the eye. I moved to the big. I moved to Deloitte, and very happy here. Enjoying my time. So pretty good. Moving on up like the Jeffersons. Oh, I bought my ranch, Rancho Grande. Yes,
good,
into a nice, beautiful place. Oh, loved it. Nice. 2016 has been really, really good. I've been very happy.
Cool, excellent.
I'm going to have to stop by the Rancho with my travels from Atlanta to Knoxville just to
absolutely
have a look around and collect some O-Scent.
Absolutely. Come on down.
Don't worry about the binoculars.
I won't give you the address. I already know you know what it is.
So, cool. So this was a huge year for me because this was my debut into InfoSec. Yeah. I quit my law firm library job the end of January of 2016 And my last day at the firm was February 5th. And then about 2 weeks later, I was at B-Side San Francisco and RSA. So, and never looked back. And this has been, I've traveled so many miles and I've had so many great experiences. I've met so many great people. And I started the year, actually, January, I went to ShmooCon. And then 2 weeks ago, I actually presented at my first security conference at B-Sides Philly.
Woo!
Yay. Excellent. Yay.
So yeah, I'm really excited. I have, you know, I've been writing articles. I wrote a chapter in a book. You know, I get asked by so many great people to be on podcasts. So yeah, so this 2016 has been pretty much, you know, my year of InfoSec, and it's been pretty amazing.
So let's move to the next one. Wish list for Santa.
InfoSec related.
InfoSec related. Yes, I am. So quiet. Oh my goodness.
Well, normally we kind of call out who should go first, so we don't all.
Oh, all right, all right. Well, there you go. You go first, Larry. Andrew.
Either's fine. You know, personally, I would love for the drama level to come down a bit in our industry.
Please, nice halo.
You took my answer.
Sorry. You know, I'm not Pollyanna to think we're going to fix all our problems, but we have a lot of self-inflicted wounds, I think. And
do you think it's marketing? Do you think it's marketing issues? I mean, do you think that we're overselling and under-delivering, or do you think that it's just, you know, we were talking about this, Amanda and Brian and I on a lost episode that'll probably come up in the near future, but it seems like that we use flowery language, and the people who are making the decisions don't get proper input from people to make the right decisions. So they get wooed by, you know, the sales weasels, you know, X company to, you know, make the wrong decision because they got to them first.
Having worked for 10 years in sales engineering, absolutely that occurs. But I think at the same time, most of the solutions are built around solving the problem the company could solve, not the problem the customer actually has. And I think most of our challenges are far more cultural and people-oriented than technology-oriented, and we suck at solving those problems. We want a blinky box.
Well, I mean, doesn't the blinky box solve the problem in a compliance framework by saying, okay, we have... You know, for instance, they don't sponsor any of our shows, I don't think. Rapid7, we got an expert. So we're doing vulnerability assessment instead of saying, well, we use OpenBOSS, because it's easier to say, well, we have Rapid7, instead of proving that OpenBOSS is actually a good tool.
Yeah, okay, but if you take that forward, you can find all the vulnerabilities, but then getting the culture and the structure to get them patched in a timely manner is what really the problem. The problem is not finding vulnerabilities. The problem is patching systems rapidly. Mm-hmm. And that's usually more of a cultural, I mean, this is really off kind of my original point, but it was really, that's more of a cultural and structural challenge and a disconnect typically between the incentives that IT has, the incentives that security has, and they're not very well aligned in that case. And that's a constant challenge, I think.
Yeah, you've also forgot the incentives of the developers to fix it as far left as possible as well.
Because, right, sure.
You know, the get to market first thing is, because they were, you know, the customer was promised 8 months ago that this was going to be here in December, and really it's supposed to be January, but now they've got to hurry and, you know, push out crap, and it's not ready to go yet. But
yeah, our entire software industry is based on rapid innovation and rapid iteration, which is contrarian to security.
Whoa, the heck?
Dr. Strangelove, man.
but all that being said, just to kind of wrap back on my point, when I say drama, I mean a lot of self-induced drama. I mean, and I think that's just, we're not very good at learning from each other and helping each other. And I think it's something we could do a lot better at in our industry.
Ego's getting in the way a lot.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, okay, so we put the problem out there. What's the solution? It's obviously not more cons, because I think we're con saturated.
Counseling.
Counseling.
I don't know. I mean, you've got a lot of different strata of age and experience and maturity levels involved. Mm-hmm. If I'm being brutally honest, I think folks who cause a lot of drama get far more outsized influence and reaction from the collective group than they probably should. I think if we did a better job of ignoring the drama, it would not have as much of an impact.
Why is he looking at Amanda when he's saying that?
Oh, wow. Gloves are off.
That really hurts.
I'm kidding.
Christmas podcast.
I don't want to get too controversial, but I do think that we focus on a lot of ancillary issues that distract ourselves from actually helping keep our company safe.
Mm. Well, Dave Kennedy had a good article yesterday. I don't know if you guys read it on his blog, yeah. Right? About all this, again, the whole thing about fake news being out there. So hopefully Santa is nice in 2017 and gets rid of a lot of those fake news and just people looking for glory and whatever, you know, their 5 seconds or 5 minutes of fame.
No, so. See, the problem is you had sites like The Onion and Duffel Blog and all those where, you know, you obviously knew that it was a satire website because it was pretty much emblazoned on every site. Then you have these sites that are kind of stealthy where, you know, people post something that's just really stupid, but, you know, it sounds plausible enough for people to believe. And now we've come to the whole point where people are making news up and all you need, and we've seen it before, where you get some mainstream person who will pick it up as a real news story and run with it without realizing, oh, it's an Onion article or whatever.
Well, that's what Jerry did a couple of weeks ago, right, Jerry, when you were posting a whole bunch of fake news. And actually, I'm like, what, are you serious? I actually thought one of them was real. I'm like, what was he talking about?
Can I just say that as a librarian, I have been fighting against and educating people about fake news long before it was cool. So, welcome to the party, people.
So, okay. Fake news hipster.
Oh,
easy.
Just now to we're chime all in mainstream. On the, just to chime in on this whole fake news thing. I mean, that's what I would like to see disappear, misinformation itself. Just because, I mean, I understand that there's a revenue model based on their traffic and clickbait gets traffic and so on. But the problem is, oftentimes I see a lot of irresponsible journalism that basically puts a misleading title to something. And, you know, like you guys were saying, they just run with it. And then, you know, look at how it handles misinformation campaigns leading up, you know, back to the election. Look at the misinformation that was involved with that on both sides.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, I saw a meme that said, President Obama and Hillary barbecued a bald eagle in the bird bath of the White House.
Yeah, but who hasn't? Come on.
That does sound pretty amazing.
It tastes good with an orange sauce. It's just fantastic.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know,
and mashed potatoes, right, Brian?
The one caution I have on the crusade against fake news is that very quickly becomes crusade against different opinion and free speech.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I don't know how to find that balance yet, but
it's about provenance of the of information, you know, checking resources. And I mean, that's one of the first steps, is just looking where the information is coming from. I'm not saying that the mainstream sources are absolved from this, but that's, for a lot of people, that's just the first step, is, you know, are you getting something from the, you know, World News Weekly, or are you getting something from NPR?
Look, you know? Look, Bat Boy did give birth to an alien. I read it. It's true.
It was in the Inquirer. That's right.
Well, what we need is another government agency. Let's call it the Ministry of Truth.
Mm. Actually, mainstream news and
filtered through. Easy, Captain Literary over there.
You just stole references. You're hitting the exact point, which is that, you know, approved truth is very close to combating fake news.
Yeah. Very
close. Oh, absolutely. And one of the things I was going to chime in before Mr. Betcher brought the reference out is 1984 was not intended as an instruction manual.
That is true. That is true.
Neither was Animal Farm.
So, so I, So I go back to the Dave Kennedy article yesterday, where he's taking on, you know, those type of fake news. So wouldn't it be nice then if people in the industry start doing the same thing whenever you see something stupid like that? You know, just come out and prove it, just like the way that he did it, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he took that article and he disproved it and tore it to pieces really quick.
What was the article? So you know.
About the Netgear router that, stop buying all the Netgear router because it's got an incredible flaw and everything. Oh, and the other thing also about the app that allows you to steal a Tesla. Mm-hmm. From a client, and he went and said, well, first of all, you have to do, you know, a phishing attack, and you have to install the fake app, and I mean, it was just incredible. And like I said, what David did there was just go and take a look at the article, and with very specific reasons, just destroyed it. Yeah. And I think that's pretty cool. That would be pretty good. And I, you know, it's something that a lot of us could do. If we want to do it. What the heck does...
I just want to show this real quick. My dedication to research. I have an actual card catalog in my living room.
Wow.
This is one of the drawers from the card catalog.
Nice. And apparently it's all about gin.
Yeah, it's all about gin, yeah.
Oh, well, that's why I pulled this one out. Yeah.
Right. Gin and goo. Okay. Well, that's a fun weekend.
All right.
Speaking of goo...
Sounds like a Tuesday night.
That's right. You know, all the Hacker Santa things came out. And I just wanted to mention to the Shmoo folks, thank you for the gift that they sent out. Don't Look Behind You, I think was his name. So
yeah.
that was something you did this year, Miss Amanda, that you forgot to
right, make. Right. Yeah, we did. It was the second annual Hacker Secret Santa.
That's right.
And we had 52 people this year.
Nice.
Yep. Don't Look Behind You. Yep.
Yep. I think out of all the gifts that I saw, I think the one that you ended up with, Brian, is my favorite.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It's a Raspberry Pi with a CTF loaded on it.
Very
it's
nice.
It's got an evidence tag with FBI evidence tape on it. And it says, plug me in for a good time. I host a CTF challenge, but no worries. I support DHCP. The nickel is a hint. So they sent me a plug nickel, like a wooden nickel, and a challenge coin from the FBI.
Oh,
computer nice. Scientist field operations.
Nice. That's
pretty badass. I love it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm going to be attempting to not screw that up.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thought that occurred to while we were talking, too, is that we were talking about fake news and marketing and hype. We're going the wrong direction, I think, on vulnerability hype, too. It's now becoming a marketing staple to, you know, have logos and names for it and you know, furry animals.
We're still doing that this year. I know I didn't hear much this year.
It's getting worse. Next we're gonna have theme songs and mascots and
what was the one that had merchandise or something.
I'm waiting for the first football stadium to be named after vulnerability.
Heartbleed Stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That'll be the Philadelphia Eagles stadium.
Oh.
Wow. So, okay, so that's part of the whole marketing thing and the hype thing, too. We got to call that stuff out, or we've got to not, like, you know, Risky Business, they're not mentioning, like, vulnerability names anymore on the show. I think it's like, to bring something negative in, but it's like, you know, when mass shootings occur, they don't share the name of the shooter to not glorify the gentleman.
Yeah,
or the person who did it. If we don't glorify the name or the fact that it's got, you know, haha, look, they put a vulnerability with a merch site and all that stuff. I think those things would go away, but we like to glorify that stuff. We like to troll that stuff on Twitter, and people eat that up.
That's true.
I think a lot of our problem is marketing and exposure.
But
I think
but that marketing is not targeted at us at our level of...
I know.
No. The consumers.
Yeah, and the executives and that sort of thing.
I know.
It's going to be tough to fight.
I know. I've gotten an email where there's a kernel vulnerability, remote RCE. I don't hear a thing from my CEO. Mm-hmm. The minute it gets a name, CEO gets a call. I get a call from the CEO. Hey, ATF. And I'm like, oh, God.
So does that mean, like, when we want things to actually go through, we should give them names?
Yeah. This is Project Storm.
Let's just work with it.
That's why they started naming winter storms.
Yeah. Right? Well, because they're more fearful that way. You know?
Well, that's why Amanda's children has names. They're pretty fearful.
Right. Oh! No. Have you met them? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, two things. One question to Amanda first. Did anyone adopt the four-year-old? And second is, are we going to start then seeing vulnerabilities being named after women?
Okay, time to go. Thanks. Good to see you guys.
Nobody do this again. Never.
And I was so angry when I wrote that tweet that I messed it up because he's actually 5.
So wow. False advertisement.
So no, nobody took him. He's upstairs sleeping. And I do think I can think of a couple women we could probably name vulnerabilities after.
Wow. Okay.
Well, we're saying we need to name them, right? So that they can put up. So
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not saying we're going to do it now. I'm like,
okay. All right.
You think that's a good idea? If we're going to start naming vulnerabilities.
Yeah, we could do it like
just like the hurricane. Storms. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like that movie, Bebe's Kids, where it's like, oh no, it's Bebe's Kids. they might have to start saying that about Amanda.
Oh, no. All right, so let's move to the next one. This is going to be a good one because I think that this next topic is going to be motivational for some people. What professional skills or goals will you be working on in the new year? Let's start with Tracy.
What won't I be working on in 2017? I am trying to get Net Plus out of the way. And then I'll move on to Security Plus. I'm just trying to absorb everything. So for me, my immediate need is to try to get some of the more technical certifications down because I do have my own business, that was my, my catalyst for change. So I would like a full-time job in the InfoSec world. So whatever it is that I need to do to make that happen. So I've been trying to brush up on tech skills, and so much so that I have it on the brain that when I made gingerbread on Sunday, one of the ingredients is called blackstrap molasses. And I kid you not, I absolutely swore that the bottle said bootstrap molasses. I was like, that's so weird. It's called bootstrap molasses. And my husband's like, that doesn't say bootstrap. I'm like, it does. It says, yeah. So I'm like completely delusional now with everything I see. I see networking stuff everywhere. And
when you start dreaming with it, that's when you start getting into trouble.
Yeah.
So, and I already have a lot of transferable skills from my other career. So I also, happy to help people with that. I know about networking and speaking and, also research and things like that. So, I just want to be able to parlay all my existing skills into InfoSec and then build up where I'm lacking. And just kind of continue this trajectory I have.
Nice. Let's go with Brian, because I know he has to leave soon, I think.
Yep.
Brian with a Y.
I got about 20 minutes. So,
oh, okay.
I've been shamed.
Timing up for dessert.
I'm having cravings for dessert. That's right.
And that doesn't mean
under the plate.
That doesn't mean you get to talk all 20 minutes you have left.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
No problem. So, like I said, I want to work on the podcast a little bit. I hear y'all. Don't worry. I hear y'all. So, I want to work on the podcast some more. I'd like to actually, get some more listeners. I'd like to double the amount of listeners we have this time next year.
Nice. How many listeners you have now?
I'm not going to say.
Four.
I know we have. I know
look,
we have.
We're not all going to stand at the urinal with a ruler and figure it out. Okay.
Oh.
So.
No, I know we have two at least. So that's good.
Well, my wife don't even listen, so I got one. So. And Miss Totenkopf, Miss Megan Wu has shamed me into submitting a talk for B-Sides Proving Grounds.
Yay.
So I may end up being in Vegas in August. So.
Nice.
And then in May I'll be at Sands West taking GPen, so I'm going to try to get my GPen certification.
Nice.
So it's like 560. So,
nice.
And ideally, I'd like to be at a better job. I mean,
you mean you want a promotion?
Yes.
And you've been working on that for quite a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I remember this conversation in last year's podcast.
Well, I've been working a lot on the podcast, so Yeah, so that's me.
All right. How about Amanda?
Oh, gosh. I have a lot of things. Probably first and foremost, I've been trying to learn how to code. So yes. I've been spending like an hour a day trying to learn Python. So hopefully...
What are you using to learn it? Any online cybery, anything like that? Or
I'm just reading How to Learn Python the Hard Way.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A good one. I got that one.
Yep. So I'm going through the online one of that and doing all the exercises, which has really helped.
Nice.
The majority of stuff I do at work is based around Splunk. So I want to learn a lot more about Splunk. And then I want to sell like a million copies of my book so I can become independently wealthy.
There you go.
Sweet.
That's why I recommended it for the book club.
Oh yeah.
So I'm curious. Sorry, you said I'm took an intro to Python class. Do you find it as exciting as I do, or am I just a giant nerd?
You're just a giant nerd.
Okay. I hope that gives me street cred in the emphasis.
It does. Coding anything has always not come easy to me. Like networking always came easy. OS stuff always came easy. Coding does not at all. So it's a big struggle.
Well, Mr. Betcher's fairly decent at that. We can always pick his brain.
So. Fairly decent.
He's a dirty developer now with the LogMD thing. So
nice.
Yeah.
So that's a good segue. So Brian, with an I, what are you looking to learn this year?
I actually wanted to start this year, but the book isn't out yet. It was supposed to be out in November, Windows Internals Volume 7.
Or, shut up.
Yeah. Volume 7. It's called, 7th edition, right?
Right.
So I ordered it quite a while ago, and it was supposed to be out November 7th or something. Now, and then they took that off. They said, well, we don't know when it's going to be out. And now it says March something. Oh. So if anybody runs into Mark Rasinovich, just, you know, ask him WTF on the book. Come on, guys. I'm waiting.
Hey, you can tweet him. Yes. I bet he's on Twitter.
I bet.
Well, who isn't, right?
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So that's it. So then you're not going to do nothing from now until March?
That's right. Nothing. Oh. Nothing at all. I'm just waiting on the book.
Holy gosh, pretty good.
Yeah.
How are you, Andrew? What are you up to other than flying?
Yeah, no, actually, I do have a couple of ratings I want to work on this coming year for flying. I want to get my instrument rating and my multi-engine rating, but that's not what you're asking. professionally, you know, I'm working on a bunch of new projects at work now, so that's going to take me in a lot of directions. I'm not exactly sure where it's going to take me, but I am trying to work more on some of the more executively useful skills and soft skills and budgeting and, you know, not less technical stuff, but different stuff. So
cool.
That's kind of where I'm probably going to focus in 2017, but who knows? There's a lot of, you know, I'm not sure, to be real honest. I'm not sure where 2017 is going to take me yet. So we'll see.
Cool. How about you, Mr. IBM?
Oh boy. I've got a pretty long list. You know, I guess the big thing that I want to focus on in 2017 is building communities, right? So I want to focus on organizing some.
You mean like Jonestown community and Kool-Aid offered?
I want to lead the InfoSec community to righteousness, and you know, if we can,
will there be white tennis shoes?
Good luck with that.
Don't eat the brown llamas.
No, I agree with Jared. I was trying to do that myself, you know, with the book club thing. I'm not trying to be Oprah, but, you know, to try to walk through a book with somebody or do the CTF thing, do the CSEC East, you know. It's hard enough to get people together to do something. Consistency is a key, you know.
Yeah.
We do CSEC East every month. We're doing the CTF thing every 2 weeks or so. You know, when I do the CTF thing, it'll probably be every week if we can swing it. I find that if consistency is the key, if people are expecting it to happen, then they'll be more likely to show up if they know it's going to occur. If they, you know, we have several organizations up here in Seattle that meet every month, every 6 weeks. They just pick a date and whatever. Nobody shows up. So
I will tell you, when Jerry's mom is on the main stage, people show up.
Oh, what is that?
Oh,
what is Jerry showing?
I know. Oh. I was going to say something about that, but
what was that?
Alan Thick died.
Oh. I had nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Who died?
Alan Thick
died.
Oh no!
It wasn't me.
2016. Oh no.
Yeah.
So
they're going to be dropping like flies until 2017, I think. Yeah.
So back to Jerry. Apart from white, the thing with white shoes. What else?
So I also want to tweet less.
Really? That's fake news right there. We just said we don't want more fake news.
And I want to get back into the swing of writing blogs, and I want to focus on developing some concepts I've got around the perception of uncertainty and how that applies to information security, and in particular to how that drives InfoSec and IT practitioners down bad pathways, right? Because I think there's a lot of discussions, but it's always been in terms of, you know, the stupid users. And I think that from my perspective, the really interesting and the really productive avenue that I want to pursue is how these concepts apply to practitioners. So that's, and beyond that, I want to figure out how to be a better executive, right? I mean,
you can't get much worse.
Well, exactly right.
It's only up from here.
I can only go up. That's right.
All righty.
I'll be interested to see those blog posts, because I think you're right. If we fail at something, we always end up blaming it on the users, or we say, well, you know, training never works because the users or whatever. I think there's got to be a way to get training to work other than being just a compliance check mark that nobody actually gets anything out of. I agree. Circle good square.
All right. So that's a good segue. So that's a good talk there, Jerry, for Tactical Edge. Pretty good. and for me, so I want to do Tactical Edge 2017 again, and I want to be focusing all year on IoT. I'm doing a lot of research on IoT and security, but not endpoint IoT security, but a end-to-end type of solution for IoT when the IoT solutions actually come out. So that's my goal for this year. How about you, Mr. Joe?
2017, I'm trying to plan it out now. I'm probably going to fly by the seat of my pants, but some things that I would like to accomplish would be, from the certification perspective, probably OSCP, just because it would make me more valuable to my employer, and it's OSCP. Professionally as well, I want to write more blogs, get more blogs submitted elsewhere besides just my website. I would like to take the podcast to the next level, but you know, we'll see how that goes as time goes on. I'm going to be teaching a SANS course as the mentor course early 2017. And honestly, I would like to develop the Knoxville, Tennessee security community in terms of the groups and everything. So, I mean, and honestly, with you being in Chattanooga, Ed, it may be, you know, something that we might need to collaborate on.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. I'm all for it.
Do you have a lot of people? Do you have an ISSA or something there that's local? What's the security community like?
We have an OWASP and an ISSA. University of Tennessee has a hacker group, and we have DEF CON. We don't have ISC squared. I've not found HTCIA yet. The DEF CON group was really small when I went. That's not to say that it's always small. I've not made it out to any of the other meetings yet, since I'm still split between Atlanta and Knoxville. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, another thing that I meant to say that I left out was, you know, I would like to actually start speaking and go to more speaking engagements like B-Sides Nashville, B-Sides Knoxville,
everywhere, really.
Well, Joe and I submitted a proposal for B-Sides Charm in Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Presentation.
Cool. Absolutely. And there's some training to go with it as well. And now we have a bearded lady.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That just tells you how long we've been on the show.
Yeah, we're almost done.
Did everybody get a chance to talk about their hopes and dreams? Okay.
Mr. Becker?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He's going to wait until March, until the book comes out, and then he's going to.
We were listening to him, Brian, unlike you.
Sorry.
He was on his seventh course.
Yeah. All right.
The foie gras and the cheese course come next.
Let's get into the home stretch here. So it's time for plugs. And I have two things real quick I wanted to plug is, one, I'm going to be participating in a webinar for Info Security Magazine on January 19th. And also a proposal I submitted to RSA was listed as an alternate. So I'm just a lady in waiting trying to figure out if I'm going to be presenting at RSA or not. So
nice.
That'd be kind of cool. So that's what I have to plug. Ed?
B-Sides Huntsville with our friend Bobasek, Paul Coggan, in February. I know a couple of you are planning on being there. I will be there to heckle Timothy DeBlock. It should be fun. And obviously towards August, September timeframe, September, October timeframe, Tactical Edge in Bogota.
Awesome. Cool. All right, Joe, any plugs real quick?
You can catch my blog and podcast both at advancedpersistentsecurity.net. I write blogs also for Alien Vault, ITSP Magazine, and Tripwire. I also plan on attending B-Sides Huntsville. I'm also planning on attending B-Sides Nashville and a whole swath of other cons that I have submitted talks and training proposals to.
Awesome. Thank you. Brian Betcher, any plugs?
Yeah, right now I'm working on auto runs for LogMD, doing it better. So if you use auto runs, maybe let's say January, February timeframe, I'll be releasing that. I also put in Shrum the last week, which is a database in Windows 8 and 10, where it will tell you how much data left your computer. So if you ever ask the question, did I lose any data? Well, this now you'll know. And it can be up to 2 months back, where it'll record how many bytes left your computer and what application did it. So yeah, that's in the tool already, and I'm just working real hard every night trying to get this thing better. So that's my plug.
You should see if you can't come to Blue Hat next year, you know, and showcase your tool.
Awesome.
Wait.
And the thing that you're working on.
Never mind.
All right, Brian Brake, what do you have to plug?
Well, you know, I want to plug the show. I'm gonna be in Hawaii in February, so I'll be available for autographs then. if I can get accepted to B-Sides Proving Grounds, I guess I'll be there for that. I'll be in B-Sides Seattle in February, I think. February is when it is. And of course we're going to do DerbyCon. We're going to try to do the CTF like we did last year. That went over really big, really well. Everyone loved it. We're going to get some help with the CTF from Mr. Hudak, if he can, Tyler Hudak. It's going to be a busy year, and it's going to be on us before we know it.
Okay, cool. Jay Bell.
You find me on the podcast.
You sound like you've given up.
it's so, you know, next year seems so far away when I don't even know what I'll be doing next week.
Gotcha. All right. We'll look for the Defensive Sec podcast. Callet, what do you have?
Similar to Jerry, I don't have a ton of planned events yet, but I'd love to make it to Derby. I failed at Shmoo. So we'll see. I need to get some more talks submitted this coming year, so hopefully I've got more to pimp out. But I may have some publication coming out in the next couple of months. Once that's closer, I'll you know, maybe talk about that.
Penthouse letters don't count, bro.
Oh.
How about centerfolds?
Well, Jerry's Mom Weekly is really coming along nicely. Right. It's look, it's a lot like Cat Fancier in its construction.
Cat Fancier?
Yeah.
Anyway, Amanda,
lots of articles.
We know about B-Sides Nashville and your big keynote debut.
Definitely make it there.
April 22nd. Do you have any other speaking engagements or appearances lined up as of
now? I will be at ShmooCon. I don't have a ticket, but I'll still be there.
Is that a threat?
Yep. I will find a ticket one way or the other.
I'll be at ShmooCon. We can grab a drink.
Yeah, I'll be in the bar the whole time. So
come
find me.
Maybe LobbyCon is the place it's at.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I only went downstairs twice last year. I went for your talk, and then I went and walked around once, and that was it.
I broke you. You're like, that's it. Screw this place. It sucks. I'm done.
All the smelly people.
paying for tickets for cons, it's just like speed limits. It's only a suggestion.
Right. And then, of course, the book will be out in hard copy in March.
Nice.
You can pre-buy it now, which is awesome. If you're interested in giving me more money, just get the electronic copy. what else? Lee and I are thinking about doing some training through Safari Online.
Okay, cool.
So that should be out sometime next year once we get all that worked out.
All good stuff. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And that, dear friends, concludes this latest thrilling episode of the InfoSec End of Year Podcast Extravaganza. We are sorry that Paul Jorgensen could not join us.
Yes.
But let's, Ed, why don't you close it out with our last line, and we'll get to the song.
The brilliant ideas and keen insights we provide are ours and ours alone. They do not necessarily reflect anything with which our employers may want to be associated. That's a good thing.
All right, so this looks like an Ed Rojas original here.
Oh, heck yeah. You guys got the lyrics there because it's, New Year's is around the corner, so.
My connection's getting bad. Hang on.
I have an
audio problem.
We figured New Year's Day by you two. Everybody knows this song.
All right, let's go.
Ready? All is quiet on New Year's Day. A DDoS attack. Get underway. I want to hack with you, hack with you, night and day. We're hacking everything on New Year's Day. On New Year's Day. I will hack with you again. Come on. No, there's no day there. I will hack with you again. Oh, you guys, man. This was supposed to be a good one.
Now would be a good time to mention the dumpster fire.
I'm changing my answer for 2017. I'm going to work on my singing skills.
Me too. That way we could get more listeners. I think that's the problem.
All right.
So I don't know about that.
I think we're to the Say Goodnight Gracie portion of the podcast.
All right. Hey, guys, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to everyone, and Happy New Year to everyone that would listen to this podcast.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Thank
you all.
See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Toodaloo.